Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name is Tom Bump, and I'm your host. Thanks for joining me, my friends. I am so glad you're with me today. Today, we're going to be talking about four questions that every leader should be asking if you want to be successful in outreach. We know that as summer months come, vacation Bible schools, family events, camps, day camps, soccer camps, music camps, all sorts of things that you can do, going to the park and passing out popsicles, whatever you're going to do in an outreach activity, there are some important questions that every leader should be asking if you want it to be not only successful, but impactful. So we're going to be diving into those questions and some more here in this episode. Before I do, though, let me tell you about an area that's brand new that you may want to consider being a part of. In fact, I think you should be a part of. The KidMinPlus.net is a brand new leadership community. It's a membership community for leaders made by leaders. This is something that is new and I truly believe is innovated in the kid ministry, family ministry world. I don't think there's anything truly like what we're offering at KidMinPlus.net. This is a community that is founded on the heartbeat of connection and community. We want leaders to get connected to each other, to help each other in this marathon we call ministry. I know there might be some other ministry membership communities out there, but I don't believe they have to offer what we're offering. What makes this unique is that, again, we're building it around live community meetups. Every week, there will be something that you can come and participate if your schedule allows to come join us, whether it's a training, a webinar, a chat, a work time, a brainstorming session. There's going to be all sorts of things offered in the KidMinPlus.net community that are going to benefit you. There's going to be weekly focused discussions in our chat forums where you can dialogue and ask questions and push back and receive ideas. It's an opportunity for you to get resources and encouragement from vetted and trusted resource providers. We have a toolbox that every month will drop, offering you resources, checklists, policy manuals, guides, all sorts of things that will help you as a leader to build a healthy leadership, to build healthy teams that build healthy ministries that impact your community. So I want to challenge you to check out KidMinPlus.net. In fact, right now for a limited time, and hopefully when you're listening to this, it will still be live, but we are offering a 14-day free trial where you can come check out the community, be a part of the discussions, check out the courses on healthy leader, healthy teams, healthy ministries, come check out our toolbox, all sorts of great resources. And there's so much more coming. We're building this for you as ministry leaders. So come check it out. It's only $15 a month after that. And that's going to be a limited time offer as well. It's an early bird founders rate, and it's going to be going away soon. So check out KidMinPlus.net. Go check it out. We would love to have you be a part of the community that you need that needs you. All right, let's dive into this episode talking about four questions a leader should be asking when it comes to outreach. So when you're thinking about your outreach events this year, I want to ask you, are you asking good questions as you're planning, but also are you following up every event with a time to truly evaluate? I think a lot of us leaders just do an event and then it's on to the next thing. And we really don't make time to think through what went well and what didn't. Where did we grow? Where didn't we grow? Did we miss the mark? We don't ask those kind of questions. And oftentimes, that is the best time to think about planning the next year's event, is immediately after. I always would sit down the next day and myself and my team, and we would write out our thoughts. And then we would come together and we would meet up and we put it all on the whiteboard. And so here are some things that I think will help you evaluate, but also to plan for the future events. So first, you want to be thinking about your impact and your engagement. When you're looking backwards, you need to be asking yourselves, how effective was this event in engaging the target community? So before you even start, you need to say, who's our target? Who's our target audience? Who are we trying to reach? You need to get specific with that. If you don't know who you're trying to reach, then you're aiming at nothing. And I guarantee you, you're going to hit nothing. You need to be asking yourself before you start, who are we targeting and how are we going to impact them? What's going to be their next steps after this event? And then after the event, looking back, you need to say, how effective were we in engaging that target audience? And did we make any impact? Did we help them move towards their next steps? You need to consider while you're doing this, the immediate responses. So did you have an opportunity to engage people and ask questions? If you're not available to do that, if you're not asking questions during the event, you're not going to truly know what's happening inside that event and if you're making the mark that you set. So you need to be thinking about, how are some ways that we can engage people? How can we start building a longer-term relationship with those people we're targeting? And are you measuring, and how are you measuring this impact in a tangible way? You need to be thinking through these two things, impact and engagement, and how will you measure them? Before the event, you need to figure it out. After the event, you need to measure and say, did we hit it? Did we make the mark? All right. Question number two revolves around resources and managing those resources. So you need to ask yourself, were the resources, our time, our budget, our volunteers allocated effectively? I want you to reflect on the areas of surplus or shortfall and think about how those resources and how you managed them could be optimized for future events. So before the event, you need to be thinking about, what are we going to, how much time is required for our volunteers? How much time is required for setup, for the event, for teardown? We need to be thinking about budget. Where are we putting the budget money, and is it allocated in the right spots? And volunteers, what specific roles will volunteers play? What do we need them to do? When do we need them to do it? How do we train them to get them ready for it? How do we release them? Who's in charge of what groups? We need to make sure that our organization structure is set for these events. And if you're doing it all, there's a problem, because I guarantee you're going to come up short in all these areas if you're trying to do everything. You need to find some people that are great at budgeting. If you're not good at it, let them work the budget. If it comes to time management, you need somebody to outline the time of pre and post and during, I should say, the event. You need to have somebody that can organize that and be that event planner kind of person. And you might need some help on the volunteer side, not just recruiting, but managing those teams and breaking it down into smaller groups and having somebody oversee those smaller groups will be a powerful tool for you. But you need to know before you go into that event what you're going to do, so that when you get on the other side of this event, you know how to ask the right questions and you can see and measure the effectiveness of the outreach. Number three comes to content and messaging. You need to ask yourself, did the messaging of the event align with our church or our ministry's core mission and values? Did everything we put out there look good? Meaning, before you even start, what are our core mission and values? What's the end goal for this event? And as you're planning your communication and your content, make sure it lines up. So when you get to the other side, you can say, yeah, it hit. Or you know what? We changed midstream and we didn't even realize that we changed our end goal, or we changed the way we were communicating. having this set down in front of you before you start helps you measure it afterwards. How effectively did the content of the event communicate our intended message? And was it received by everybody that participated? You can ask these questions afterwards. And if you've got the setup beforehand and you've thought through it beforehand, it's going to make it easier for you to measure those kind of things. Messaging and content is important. We need to make sure that what we're putting out there on social media and in print lines up with our core mission and values, and that it is effective in communicating what people need to know, think, and do when they're coming to our event and while they're in our event. If you don't communicate those things, then you're opening the door for all sorts of chaos. And oftentimes that's where problems happen, is because we have not communicated these things to our volunteers and to the participants that are coming. You know, I saw a church and was part of one that when we were first starting the egg hunts, before they were really a thing now for every church to do, we decided to try it. Well, we did not communicate very well the expectation of what people were doing. And we thought it was a great idea to have a program in our worship center and to have some fun and some singing and some prize giveaways and stuff. But you know what? The families, we hadn't communicated that to. We hadn't really clearly communicated there was a program before the egg hunt. So families came in and were kind of pushed and led into our worship center. They didn't really understand what was going on. The kids were restless. They were kind of wild. Most people had never been inside a church before, so they were uncomfortable even being inside the building. They didn't know why they were exactly there. And then honestly, some of them just got up and left because the program was even too long. And we realized that our message got lost in that day. And we lost people. We lost credibility with the community because we did not advertise the fact that there would be a big program beforehand. And so make sure you're communicating with all of your events that are coming, what it is, what to expect, what they can experience there. Because if you're not thinking about it, then later on, as you're going through, you can say, did people get it? And you're going to be able to ask people, did you understand what we were doing and why we were doing it? And you're going to be able to evaluate better. Last thing, it comes to feedback and learning. So you need to ask yourself post-event, what feedback did we get from participants, from volunteers, and from the community, our target audience? And how can we integrate that feedback into future planning to improve the quality and engagement of the next event? You need to be taking what you do and learn from it for every single event that you do. So before you even start, you need to be thinking, how will we get the feedback? What are some tools? What are some things that we can do? Whether it's a text survey, whether it's a paper survey, whether it's an in-person survey, you need to have a plan for how you're going to get feedback. Otherwise, you're going to make lots of assumptions, and those are usually proven wrong. You need to have a way to count people accurately. Don't guesstimate. It's always amazing how overestimating we are. We underestimate the time involved or how hard it is, but we usually overestimate the feedback and the numbers that we're getting. So be very careful. We want to, your integrity is in check here, and we want to make sure that we're asking the questions appropriately. So what are some things that, again, as we go forward, how can we plan well? Well, it starts with strategic planning. You need to make sure that you have a clear plan that outlines the goals, the target audience, the resources that you're going to use, and the desired outcomes for every event that you do. You need to have an end goal. It needs to move people into the discipleship process. Sometimes our events are gospel-centered. Some of them are discipleship-focused. Some are fun and connection-focused. We need to know what the goal is and why we're doing it so that we know how to achieve and measure those things. So it starts with strategic planning. It starts with prioritizing what's really important. We can't do everything, but let's do a few things really well. If you're a smaller church, you don't have to match what the bigger churches are doing. Just do what you do with excellence. And one of the things that you have an advantage over larger churches is because you can prioritize what really matters and zero in on that and do it with excellence. So don't think, because you're a smaller church, don't think that you can't do great strategic planning and to do an event with excellence. You don't need tons of resources. I have seen churches with lots and lots of resources offer a terrible event. And I've seen small churches with limited resources, both time, talent, and treasure, and blow it out of the park because they took the time to think through what their goal was, who their target audience is, what resources do they have, and the desired outcome for that event. And they nailed it. Bullseye. All right. Another thing that you need to be thinking about as you're preparing for bigger events and outreach events is you need to foster team resilience and well-being. You need to think from the very beginning, how am I going to keep a team resilient and effective? How am I going to help them manage the workload? Because big events require lots of extra time for our teams and for us. We need to manage our stress and our workload. So you need to have a plan. How will you as the leader or how will your team figure out how to check in with your volunteers, check in with those other team members, those subordinates? How will you encourage them and equip them and resource them so that everything you do will make a difference in keeping them excited and focused in doing it? You need to implement some practical measures. Maybe you need to rotate tasks. Maybe you need to schedule breaks in there and offer that encouragement. But have a plan for when you're going to talk to them and how you're going to talk to them. It is vital that you do that. Number three thing that you can do as you're planning and preparing is to delegate and empower. It's crucial. And I know you know this, my friends, but it's crucial that we learn to delegate responsibilities based on their strengths and their skills and their gifting. You need to know your leader's spiritual gifts. You need to know your team's spiritual gifts and delegate responsibility based on those things. Don't just release people to do things because you think they might be good at it. You need to know they're good at it. And you need to know their skill set. And you need to know their gifting. Because if it's in those things, you're going to fill up their bucket while they're doing these tasks. And they're not going to wear down. I've seen people give tasks to the wrong people and it drains them and they end up being more of a pain in the tushy and they don't love the job. They don't own the job. They don't want to do the job. So let me challenge you to empower people the right way with the right skill set for the right place. But you also have to empower that team to take ownership of the task. You need to give them manageable tasks, bite-sized tasks, and let them own it. Why? Because that builds their confidence. It increases their capability within the team. And let me tell you, if you want to grow your team and see them accomplish greater things, then empower them. Give them the ability to own what they do. Provide those clear guidelines, give them boundaries, but then allow for the autonomy of how those tasks are completed. It will foster trust and collaboration and growth, let me tell you. The last thing I'll share with you today in this episode is you want to implement a feedback loop for them as well. You need to establish a continuous loop of feedback for your team to reflect and to learn from at each and every event. You need to gather input from all the stakeholders, participants, volunteers, community members, and use this feedback to make impactful improvements. You need to recognize the achievements and the extra mile of your team. And then you also need to address those areas of growth. What are those things that just didn't quite go so well that we need to improve on? Maybe it's just how you did your check-in and check-out. Maybe it's the programming. Maybe it was the snacks. Maybe it was the communication plan, the social media plan. Maybe you didn't start early enough. And so your calendar, you need to move it back a little more. I just know that from past experience, when you start incorporating these things into the discussion and you start asking these kind of questions, it's going to help not only you prepare for future events, but it's going to help you evaluate those events. And that's going to promote health, resilience, and efficiency inside your ministry. If you want to grow your leadership, try doing these things as you prepare for the next events. Let me tell you, these are the things that we're talking about in our KidminPlus.net community. We want to help leaders grow leaders. And that's what our community is all about, is really all about the leaders. So if you want to join, again, I want to invite you to come check out our 14-day trial. And then after that, it's $15 a month to stay connected. We're going to be bringing in high-level leaders for discussions, for trainings, and it's all going to be included in that membership along with a lot more. So we're going to be having these kind of discussions in this group all the time. So if you want to come be a part of it, check out KidminPlus.net. You can find more information at KidsMinistryCollective.com. And if you are interested and maybe you need some coaching help, maybe you need some places to grow, check out KMCCoach.net. I would love to talk to you and have a clarity call with you about a coaching journey that we can custom build for you to help you learn to think like a leader. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. I hope you'll stay tuned for another episode real soon. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.